be having our August picnic this coming Sunday, the 22nd, immediately following first session. The church is providing meals from Chef Ray's Street Eats food truck. You are welcome to bring side items or desserts to share at the picnic. An additional, all additional picnic food can be kept chilled by storing in the refrigerators in the 1800 building before first session. The menu for the food truck is posted on the bulletin board. And we will, of course, have a bounce house for the little ones. In fact, that's what a little bit of running around was here while I was teaching is because the food truck showed up today. better a week early than a week late. So they had to say bye-bye. So anyway, thought that was kind of funny. All right, go ahead. All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship as we continue with the topic of the eternal state and the particulars with regard to it. So I know it's a lot of details, but we are on the second page here. The noted that the city and earth has no need of artificial light, such as the sun or moon or lamp. God's essence is the source of all light for humanity within and without the city. M, the day-night cycle will no longer be. Again, that's a try to get your head around that, as there will only be endless daylight supplied by the very same light that was in the most holy place and exists in heaven above. And obviously it will be moderated and monitored, that's the way it'll be. God's eternal throne that exists in heaven will be relocated within the New Jerusalem. And on it, the throne, as it is today, right above us, it will reside the visible manifestation of God the Father and the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Co-occupancy of the co-rule. From the throne of co-occupancy will flow a river of water that will exit the city on the east side, as in the case of the millennial river of Ezekiel 47. This is a geological feature that will be a part of the millennial phase when this river comes with the earth split. There's a lot more water under the surface of the earth than there is on the surface of the earth. That's what I've heard. Lots of water is available. It may be deep, but it's there. And this river will flow out and the one in Revelation 22 is the river of the new creation. It comes from the throne of God and the Lamb. Anyway, okay. The river will run down the center of the Golden Boulevard, and on each side of this river will be trees that bear 12 kinds of fruit corresponding to the 12 months of the old lunar system. Revelation 22:2. And this is how people will keep tabs on the time of year and with the passage of a year. Even though we're in eternity forever and ever, we'll keep tabs on this. On either side of the river was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. So I would assume that this tree is made up of the fact that one month it would bear the name of fruit, the next month another fruit. And, of course, all this conjures up in your mind the Garden of Eden with the trees and so forth, the tree of life in the center of the garden, and then we get to a very interesting part, which we'll get to here in a second. I gave you that. These trees bearing a different fruit in a 12-month cycle will act like a clock to gauge time. The leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. What? Healing of the nations. That is, those people brought over from the millennium phase with sin natures. More on this later. Relationship between the residents of the city and those living on the outside of the city. A. Those living within the city constitute resurrected saints from the first three dispensations, beginning with Adam, as these fall under what is called the first resurrection. The resurrected saints serve God as priests and rule over the balance of humanity as they did in the millennial phase where the two groups live side by side. Revelation 1:4. I have, what do I have? Okay, now what? Let me see what I got here. John to the seven churches who are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. 20:6. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection must be understood as a unit that is strictly for believers. Over these, the second death has no power. Second death refers to the condemnation, which we studied in Romans, the second death. You have the first resurrection, and you have the second death. Has no power. The second death is being cast into the lake of fire. The first death, if there's a second death, there's a first death. The first death is being rendered spiritually dead at the point of physical birth. And the second death is perpetuating that beyond to death. That's the second death. See how confused people be if they're reading this? But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. So that's in the agenda for you too, as well as tribulational martyrs. See, the balance of humanity in both phases of the kingdom organized into nations. And these nations will be the subjects of those residing in the city. The nations will walk by its light. That's exterior to the New Jerusalem. Here you have this city, this 1,500 mile cube setting, and I would presume right in the physical center. That makes brethren off to the side. It'll be right in the physical center of the new earth. And outside it will be the activity of the nations who are brought over from the millennium, more on that in a minute, who are brought over from the millennial kingdom in their natural bodies and put on this new earth. Now, with God, there's no problem with pulling this off, okay? That's not going to be a problem of handling all of this. You just have to realize that he's got all power. And anything he says in the Bible that he's going to do, he can do because of this attribute of, one, omnipotence. Omnipotence means all-powerful, nothing limited. It's without bounds. So they'll be organized into nations. Okay, let's go back to the New Jerusalem. The cities will walk by its light. That means their everyday life and activity, they don't have to have utilities. They don't have to have an artificial or a natural light source. It's the essence of God, like the Shekinah glory type thing. When a high priest went into the most holy place, he wasn't blinded by the light. It was regulated to the point where he could go into the most holy place once a year that had no windows, no openings for light, and he would go in there, whether it was in the temple or the tabernacle before, and there was this light source that was always on in there. always. We see a picture in the book of Ezekiel where in the vision of Ezekiel, the light goes up from the out in the impending fifth cycle, and it goes out the Shekinah glory. Now, I don't know what was in there at the first advent, if anything. If they had to put artificial candles or things in there to light it up. Off subject, but I'd do that. Okay, let's back to where we're at. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth, that means a political leader, that means the guy at the top, will bring their glory into it. So their glory is out here. What's their glory based on? It's based on whatever they have achieved as a result of the nation that they are responsible for and they rule over. Kings have glory. We know that in human history. And they will, with their entourage, they will bring their glory into the city. There will be visitors that will come and go from the nations outside that are doing their thing. They will bring their glory. So Christ is King of Kings. These are kings, rulers, and this will be royalty. These will be individuals who will have perpetual royal houses. And they will rule in a benevolent way. They won't have to deal with crime. They won't have to deal with sin nature stuff. None of the usual corruption, because there will be no sin nature. If you could imagine what it would be like if everybody on earth behaved all the time, had no sin natures, not even cranking out mental attitude sins. Nothing. Just perfection, like God is perfect. You'll be like that when you get your resurrection body. Or if you die before then. But you will be like that. You will have no aspirations to involve yourself in any sinful behavior. And even when you're living in the millennium and you're seeing people do sinful stuff, the usual or whatever, it'll have no attraction for you. None. Imagine something that would completely put you off under any circumstances. But you will be kind to these people. You won't be why could you do that? Run around like you know, no. Because that's a sin nature function too, isn't it? Uh-oh, look at you. That's a sin nature function that operates in a lot of churches at a high level. I've been there. I know. I've seen it. Anyway, the gates of the city will be eternally open. Mostly gates get closed, right? And in the ancient world, there was a time to have them open, and then at night they closed them, or in times of invasion, they closed the city gates. So that there will be a constant stream of visitors coming and going. I know, it's mind-boggling to imagine that you'll never have to say, I need to take a break, I'm tired. None of your time's going to be spent sleeping. You'll have boundless and endless energy. Yes, there has to be a whole part of this that's a mystery. There has to be a part of this that's a whole mystery. Oh, and this is also when you, as members of the royal family, as a for instance, you'll be enjoying your SG3. Can't tell you what all that is. You'll be enjoying your SG3 and your status for those of us who manage to walk away with the crown. You'll be enjoying your status. You will have status. Again, with this status won't come any the usual looking down on people or human pride or resentment on those that don't have it. Those that just have zero SG3 will be darn glad to be there. And they will be happy. The only bad experience they'll have is at the Bema seat when shame hits them in the face. And we get past that, and that's over. This is what we're talking about, perfection. Angels will guard each entrance as if they needed guards. There's no danger out there. But it's just, okay, what's it for? It's the principle. it's looks. It adds to the pizzazz of the whole thing. This is all going to be glorious and beautiful. Everything about it. You're going to, like they had back in the day, you're going to like the way you look when you come out of our men's store. That was his little line over and over again. You're going to like the way you look. I don't care if you don't look very good at all right now. You're gonna like it. And did I mention that we're all going to be 35? I think I did. But I haven't got to the key of all this yet. The one that I'm saving it. So angels will guard the entrances. And I don't know what kind of rules that they'll have, if any, as far as the egress and ingress, in and out. I don't know. We have 12. It had a great high wall and with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes. Okay. So, this is for the people. This is primarily for the people that are visitors, if you will, from the nations who make periodic pilgrimages into the city and bring their glory into it. Whatever all that consists of. Whether it's just the way they look, or if they bring in gifts or presents, I don't know. You got to realize a lot of this will be made very clear only when we get there. And we'll probably pick up on a bunch of details during our time during the 1,000 years. There's plenty of people that pick their brains and find out stuff. Okay, problem with the millennial saints and their place on the new earth. This is the one that kind of ties two ends of history together. The Garden of Eden, and so forth, and bringing, in other words, Adam and Eve's fall in the garden didn't throw off the plan of God for what he originally, he didn't set them up to fail, and he knew they were going to fail. This is the thing about God. He knew the minute he created Satan was going to result. You say, well, I'd have never created him. Well, you're not God. Okay? I'd have never created the Joker. I'd have created some other angel that would have behaved himself. Well, he can make robots. You want robots? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Their volition's not anywhere near it. They're just doing it because they're programmed. Well, that's okay. That's not cool. What if I wouldn't do it? What if I could give you some substance, and you're, oh, Jack, that wouldn't be any good. It's got to come from your volition and your love and what you are as a believer. We have to love God from our own free will, not because we were made that way. So anyway, this ties two ends of things together. Since man did fall, and we had to put in the operation coming Messiah to help to get them out of the hole they got themselves in. We're gonna bring this around to this place. Since the millennial saints will not come under a resurrection of immortality, and what I mean by that is they don't get a resurrection body that's technically bulletproof, but exist in a natural bodies, there must be some mechanism whereby they can overcome two things: the indwelling sin nature and the aging gene. That's the whole thing, right? Death will be no more. How is that going to be possible? Now, there, of course, there's that school that say, oh, well, God will just get them resurrection body too and throw them on the new earth. No. No. Because there's things that need to be addressed here in the text. You know, it's called turning over every stone to finally get the appropriate picture of a matter. In other words, to reverse the process that was set in motion when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Adam ate, there was something about that particular fruit that caused a genetic effect resulting in a sin nature. See doctrine and information you've been given. And the gene of aging. It changed their DNA. We hear about it all the time. Well, we're going to hear about it all the time. But they're trying to change our DNA out there. They're trying to mess with us. With vaccines and other kinds of things. For evil. There is explicit evidence that eating of the tree of life would have conferred immortality to the natural body had man ever eaten of that tree after the fall. That's why Adam and Eve were literally, unceremoniously, kicked out of the garden. It says they were pushed out. It was like a force, forcing them out, not, would you please leave? I mean, it was just like this overwhelming force, forced them out. And then there was a guard put on the garden. Now, God could have eliminated the tree, blew it up, destroyed it, but he didn't. He left that garden unattended, overgrown, that's what happens, as Adam, for 3 years, my view, he was in there for 3 years, he was the caretaker. That was his job. All right? After that, it overgrows, but that tree is still there. And people that came on board after the fall outside, and those peoples that were out there, they knew that there was a fountain of youth in there. But it was a tree. It was a tree. And if they could get back to that tree, see, if Adam and Eve could have managed to get to that tree before they were evicted, they would have killed the aging gene for themselves and for their offspring. But it wouldn't have done any good with regard to the sin nature gene. And that would be an awful state to have sinners living perpetually. Yes, they were mortal in the sense that you could drown, you could be poisoned, you could be murdered. Yes, they were vulnerable in that sense. But just getting old, no, that wasn't even in the cards. Not even going to happen. If somebody could have got in there and eaten of that tree. Hey, you know there's that tree? They figured this out. I wonder how many dummies tried to do it. They had a couple angels guarding that 24/7, guarding that garden for the 656 years between the fall and the flood, when the flood wiped it out. And there was always going to be some, you know, tough guy that they think they can storm the place and grab some fruit. Well, they wound up dead. You can't fight with an angel. It isn't going to happen. See, that was the whole picture. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. What do we have angels with flaming swords guarding a garden for? What? There's nothing in there. Yes, there is. There's a prize. It's the tree of life that was in the center, and it's still cranking out fruit. So, there is three. In other words, the fruit of the tree contains something that would perpetuate physical life in an otherwise mortal body indefinitely. It is apparent from Genesis 3:22 that even a person with a sin nature and the death gene could have lived forever had anyone managed to eat of the fruit before the flood. And we need to read that verse before we leave. See, this is where all the detail comes in. My prayer is, I hope I don't miss any big stuff. I don't like that. I'll get there in a minute. This part of it in particular. This is after the fall, okay? Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. Now, here's the word. There's my documentation. So he drove the man out. You get thrown out of a place physically, forcefully, not nicely invited to leave. That's the force that God expelled him from the garden. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword. Okay, I guess that's two separate things. There's a flaming sword going through, which I accept, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So now you go out and look at it. Look at that. Don't go any closer, though. Or you'll be dead in your quest to live forever. And I guess maybe that's where all these legends come from, you know. This place where you can go and find the solution and live forever. Now, the solution, for those of you listening out there, is through Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. You believe in him and you've got eternal life in you. Why you pack around a body with a sin nature, that's going to be taken care of too. That's another big side of the whole thing. Your body is going to follow. And you're going to get immortality in your body. All right, we'll pick this up Tuesday night. Usual time, usual place. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.